Welcome to the Harvest USA podcast, where we offer the transformative hope of the gospel to those impacted by sexual sin. Our passion is to equip the church to think biblically about God's design for sexuality, repentance, and life in Christ.
The first commandment: God, people, and sex in their right places. Written by Ellen Mary Dykus. Do the Ten Commandments intimidate you? I grew up hearing about them, and every so often they came up in the church services I attended. What were they anyway? 10 things that get us in trouble? 10 ways to keep people from enjoying life? Well, as I've grown in the Lord and studied the scriptures, I've realized that these commands are God's way of loving us by putting guardrails around our desires, thoughts, and behaviors. When God commands one thing, He is at the same time protecting us from what disobedience to that command brings. The first commandment, that we have no other gods, is the ultimate in safeguarding our hearts. The first commandment, keep God as our heart's priority. In my many years of ministry at Harvest USA, I have probably discipled women with the first commandment more prominently in view than any other. Women whose marriages have been devastated by a spouse's sexual sin, or those who are battling to overcome pornography, emotionally entangled relationships with other women, sexual fantasies, and promiscuities, have all been helped by honest conversations about the first commandment. It says, quote, "And God spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me," close quote. Exodus 20, verses 1 to 3. In other words, God loves us too much to allow other things to displace Him in our desires, priorities, and hopes. When He is in His rightful place as loving Lord, Savior, and healer of our hearts, our relationships with people and our sex lives are protected. Elevating people over God never ends well. Women and men alike wrestle with turning to created things, including God's sweet gifts of people and the blessing of sexual joy over relationship with Him. This is the heart of the first commandment's warning. Whether you call it codependency or idolatry of people, the heart's motivation is the same. God isn't cutting it. You need to make me feel good about myself, and if you don't, I'm sunk. Have you ever thought or said something like the following? Why hasn't he texted me today? Is he spending time with someone else? Why wasn't I invited? Am I being replaced? I love her so much. I need her. If this relationship ends, I don't want to live anymore. Life has no meaning without it. You make my day, and you have the power to break my day. My heart stability and sense of being valuable and lovable rise and fall with how much attention you give me. You are me, and I am you. Don't leave me. I know I'm a bit over the top in how involved I am in my kids' lives, but they need me. I'm their mother. If my marriage is suffering, so what? God gave me these children, and they are my reason for being alive. If they don't need me, I won't exist anymore. I just can't understand why my marriage isn't as satisfying as I thought it would be. I mean, isn't it supposed to be the one relationship in my life that meets all my needs? Isn't my spouse supposed to complete me? It's good to desire satisfying and loving relationships. God is the creator of relationships, whether in the context of friendships, family, ministry, work, neighborhoods, and of course, spiritual siblings in the body of Christ. However, God never intended for us to turn other people into our primary refuge or home. God wants us to depend on Him, to live under His authority and care, and to grow in satisfaction with His love for us. When we are secure in Christ, our love for the people in our lives can be healthy, holy, and honoring to God. But when love for Christ and obedience to Him become secondary to our relationships or aren't a part of them at all, friendships, romantic relationships, mentoring relationships, and family relationships can all slide into idolatry. According to the Bible, whenever something or someone sidelines God from our thoughts, desires, and focus, our lives have gotten off track. This is breaking the first commandment. The toxic nature of these kinds of relationships can be difficult to diagnose because they can feel so intoxicating. The emotional buzz or euphoria that often accompanies intense conversations, physical affection, or someone's adoration of us can be addictive. However, a dynamic of I need your need of me and you need my need of your neediness is messy at best and destructive at worst. Instead of helping us to grow and flourish, sinful dynamics in our relationships imprison us. I've had my share of relationships in which my love for and dependency upon God was displaced by my love for a person's need of me or my role in that person's life. I know what it's like to be anxious, fearful, jealous, and insecure when relational terrain suddenly changes and you're left feeling ousted, left behind, and brokenhearted. God has me on a trajectory of growing freedom from interpersonal patterns that were mired down for years in toxic, unholy dependency. No matter where you are, God is compassionately aware of the circumstances you're in and knows, really knows what you are feeling. If you are in relational turmoil, are you willing to have the eyes of your heart and mind reoriented towards Him to gaze upon who He is and then begin to diagnose why there is toxicity in one or more of your relationships? To consider who Jesus is and then move toward humbly understanding that people will be in their rightful places in our lives when He is in His rightful place? We need faith-fueled realism. You may struggle to believe that God can change your codependent patterns, and perhaps you don't feel desirous of change. Are you, however, willing to ask God to work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure? Philippians 2:13. Your first step in pursuing spiritual growth is to believe God's word and to surrender control of your life to Him. Your next step is to have realistic expectations. Most of us want quick, pain-free solutions to our problems, and problematic relationships are no exception. But your desires, interpersonal patterns, and relationships, they won't change overnight. Instead, repentance brings about directional change, a slow, steady, upward trajectory of growth, transformation, and healthiness. What might growth look like? Let's consider a few things. Honestly examining your relationships and asking others to give you feedback on how they see it. Putting space between yourself and a person upon whom you are too dependent, especially if you've been involved with each other outside of marriage. If you are married and involved in an affair, this relationship needs to be severed immediately. Initiating time with a new friend or an acquaintance, which shows a growth in your willingness to engage with other people. Engaging with a community of believers through a Christ-centered, biblically faithful local church. God's people are your household of faith, Galatians 6:10, and local churches provide a unique opportunity to cultivate a variety of types and depths of healthy relationships. Reading God's Word as a way to know Him, love Him, and cultivate your relationship with Him. Longing for God more and more, loving Him, and seeking Him out as your primary relationship. Jesus frees us from toxic relational dynamics. People problems have been around as long as people have existed outside the Garden of Eden. You're not alone in this struggle. Many are familiar with the fear, anger, anxiety, discontentment, jealousy, and pain that come when others don't seem to like, love, or respond to them in the way they desire, in the way they're convinced they need. Women and men alike have experienced what it's like to feel trapped, even imprisoned in a relationship that is obsessive and consuming. That's why, of all the prayers and songs David uttered from his heart as a shepherd, king, military commander, sinner, and chosen one of God, the cry that resonates with me the most is, "Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me." Psalm 142, verse 7. God has indeed brought me out of relational prisons and allowed me to have healthy, Christ-honoring relationships in my life. Even though I'm surrounded by the righteous, I'll never outgrow the need for God to be my refuge, first love, and source of security. And neither will you.